Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast, where we teach you how to make money with content and building an audience. Today, we are going to talk about the Seller Summit, specifically the Content Mastermind that we just started running these last couple of years.
Yeah, so the Content Mastermind is a new addition to Seller Summit. We started it last year. It looked a little different last year in that it wasn't a true mastermind. We did have speakers come in and present, but small group of people, totally content focused. Most of them did have e-commerce stores, but were really looking to build the brand side of things. This year, we basically made it a true mastermind, limited the amount of tickets available, and locked ourselves in a room for 8 hours and worked on brand building.
So I was curious because I haven't had the opportunity. I mean, this is brand new. I haven't had the opportunity to sit in on any of these. So I am curious what the types, I know it's supposed to be confidential, but I'm curious what the types of people that were in this mastermind for this year and how it was run and what were some of the key takeaways?
Well, can I tell a funny story about you in the mastermind?
About me?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
So great. We run, you're like, great. So if you guys are familiar with Seller Summit, we run masterminds for e-commerce, and there is a revenue requirement for the e-commerce masterminds. And I think this year we had 7 mastermind groups, one group that was under $1 million, and then all the other groups were over $1 million. And then the content mastermind's totally separate. We don't care about your revenue at all in that, because it's all about building a brand, email, video, podcast, TikTok, whatever. It's all the content side. And the night before the masterminds, we do a really fun meetup with everybody who's attending the mastermind and all of our mentors. So it's some of the smartest people we know in this room. So even to me, just going to that networking party is, a great value, right? Because you're getting to hang out with super smart people. And one of the attendees came up to you at the mixer and was all excited that they were going to the mastermind. And then through the conversation, you found out that they weren't even selling yet. Do you remember this guy?
Yes. Yeah, of course I remember. Yeah.
And nicest guy. And Steve basically says, you're not allowed to be here. Because he misunderstood that this guy was in the content mastermind, not in the e-commerce mastermind. So I don't know this happens. The next day, I show up at the mastermind and this guy is sitting next to me and is visibly nervous that he's there, right? And he's like, I need to speak with you. And I was like, oh, great. We're not even 5 minutes in and I've already done something wrong. And he pulls me aside and basically tells me that you told him that he was not allowed to be there.
This is what I, can I give my side of the story?
Yes.
I was like, which mastermind are you a member of? Is it the content or one of the e-commerce ones? And he said, e-commerce. And so I was like, okay, well, we just had this conversation where you're not selling yet. So how did you qualify for the mastermind? Did you fill out the income form? Because, we screen, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't fill anything out. So I was like, okay, I was going to pull you over, but I didn't see you.
Yeah. I was just like, what is Steve doing? Sending people away who have paid. He's manufacturing a very interesting product in the United States, and was really, it's cool because I think it's fun when people who haven't quite, they're in the process, right? He's looking for suppliers and manufacturers and things like that, but he's really focused on the brand side of things before he even launches, because he wants a brand story. He wants points for people to relate to when they're looking at his product and things like that. So I think, while the content mastermind isn't specifically for people who aren't selling yet, I wouldn't say that's our demographic. It was definitely a benefit for him to be there, because we did, I felt a little bad because people ripped apart some of his brand ideas, which, I'm cringing inside, because, and everyone's very polite about it, right? It's not rude or anything like that, but they really pushed him on some of his brand ideas. And at the end of the event, I saw him again and he said, I really got a lot out of that and I appreciated them being hard on me because it's helped me to rethink some of my strategy. So basically it kept him from probably making some mistakes initially that would have cost him some money. And because it's a group of primarily e-commerce sellers in this content mastermind, they also gave him some pretty good ideas for manufacturing and some of the supplier type issues as well that he was running into, which was kind of a side conversation. But yeah, so my day started off with a bang with someone's like, I'm not supposed to be in here. I was like, don't ever listen to Steve. He doesn't know anything.
He just had to tell me that he was in the content mastermind, and that was that.
I think people, yeah. I think people were, I don't want to say confused, but I think people just thought mastermind, right? Like they signed up for one and weren't really thinking that there was a differentiator, because what they were looking for, they signed up for.
Actually, what I wanted to ask you was, did people in that group have an audience, and whether we should think about having some sort of minimum follower count for something to qualify?
So everybody in the room had an audience, had a website up, except for this guy. He was the one lone ranger on that. But so most people, there were a couple people that weren't e-commerce sellers. They were digital product sellers. And then our friends Sharon and John were in there. And of course, they sell, I guess they sell a membership.
They have a SaaS company.
Yeah, SaaS company. Yeah, trending stocks. And so everybody in the mastermind had an audience or was already either creating content or had an e-commerce store with a blog attached to it. How far along they were in that process varied.
Right. Yeah. I was talking to a lot of people at Seller Summit, and there's a lot of people interested in content now.
Yep.
Just, I would say more so than any other year that we've done it, because content is the way you build a brand, and you know you can't really build a brand unless you bring people back and attract them with something, right?
Yeah.
The product itself is not going to do it.
Exactly. I would say most of the people too were, they did sell on Amazon, but they had their own website. So they had their own D2C. I don't know what the percentage was as far as their sales went, but it seemed like everybody in there was feeling the pressure of, I need to not rely on Amazon, or I need to build my sales through branding, or I need to come up with a better brand message. I need to find a better way to reach my customers. So the primary topics that we discussed was definitely video marketing for sure. That was definitely number one, followed by SEO. So people really not understanding search or not understanding the best practices for that. Then influencer marketing was big, as well as email, and then just ideas on how to create content that sells to people without feeling, I think we get in this rut, like where the only content we create is like buy, 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 right? And
right.
It's like, how do you create that content that's really educational for your customer? And, you know, most people were wanting to go that route with video.
You know what's funny is I've been trying to get my wife to do this for a while, but maybe I should just do it. And you're gonna laugh, but crafts with Steve.
Crafting time with Steve. I can see like a little bonnet coming out into the screen.
Or just something where we just take our products and we do something with it.
Yeah.
Or we show like how we do stuff. And obviously you know how Jenna's like. She's probably not going to do this ever.
I don't know. After the live selling, there's a chance.
That's true. After the live, I was impressed, but I think she has to muster up all the energy in order to do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if crafts with Steve would work, but maybe a guy doing that stuff would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I could attract an audience doing that.
I think you probably could. It would be a little bit of like a blooper reel plus crafts, but I think it would definitely get followers. I'm not sure the quality of the followers, but you would get them. So I think the other common thread was that everybody in there was very open-minded and willing to try new things and explore new avenues. I think that's what made it so enjoyable for myself and for Andrea, who helped. Actually, she did a lot of the leading. Is that everyone, there was nothing. Sometimes you get into masterminds and people are like, I can't do that, or that won't work, right? They're very like quick to sort of turn down ideas. And the one thing about this group that I felt like was pretty amazing is that nobody really was quick to turn anything. They were very open-minded, listening to ideas. And then a lot of the conversation stemmed from, okay, I like one of the companies, I think we can talk about this, Forever Rose, our friend Noah.
Wait, he was in my mastermind. Right.
Candy, she's great. Definitely a win for Noah to find her. But you know, they're trying to figure out a way to sell more roses to people, right? Because it's a product that, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but it's like a real rose, right? Dipped in some sort of material.
Gold,
that,
actually. No, it's well, dipped
gold
in gold
as well. But like, it's also like got a, almost like an epoxy. So it does last forever. They come in a variety of colors. They're really beautiful. I'd never seen one before until Seller Summit. She whipped one out of her purse, like in the lunch one day. And I was like, wait, is that the forever rose? But anyway, they have a high price point. They don't believe in discounting. So they have a lot of really cool marketing strategies already. And they're just trying to figure out like, hey, how do we showcase this part? Because it's, I told her, I said, it's much prettier. Like the pictures on the website are great. It's not, they don't have anything bad on their website. But once you see that thing in person, it's way more appealing to me personally. And so, you know, one of the things that we talked about was like, how do you get that user generated content? Because I think someone receiving it, because most of the time they're given as a gift, someone receiving that, you know, their happiness, their feeling of like being cared about, being loved, like how do you kind of capture that? And everyone agreed that it like video is probably the best way to do that. But the problem is guys are usually giving the rose to a female. And most guys, unless they're YouTubers, are not setting up the camera to catch the moment, right? Like, it's like, how do you get people to, like, can you re-give that then with the camera? You know, like, trying to get the same. So that was, like, one of her the big pain points that she had.
You know what people do for this?
What?
They just hire people to do it.
Well, that's what one of the suggestions was. And what was cool was a lot of people in the room had worked with some, like, platforms that specifically you find people to do this. And so that was one of the main suggestions, was just hire that part out.
You know what you know what would get me to buy these? Just like, I'm thinking about all these funny videos in my head right now. Like, hey, this is the only flowers you'll ever have to buy for the rest of your life.
Never buy another flower again. Well, yeah. They want repeat purchasers. That's the problem. It's like, that's the
rose. But that would be the funny parody. Or this video where this guy is like, getting beat down by his wife, getting into fights, saying all the wrong things, and then he busts out this rose, and all of a sudden, like, her demeanor changes, and then she's all happy.
Like, yes, but it's so anyway, but that was,
you get out of jail free card for
that's
men.
That's right. Just keep it right behind your back until you need it.
Always have it ready in like this holster.
That's right.
That you
care. Here you go. Here's your rose. They are beautiful, and they, you know, so it was fun. I don't know what you would know, and I know you can't share that stuff, what you guys talked about in your mastermind, but, you know, we were really focused on that brand building, and how do you get people to, like, how do you get that rose to resonate with people watching content on social media? How do you convince people that they need more than one, right? Because it is the forever rose, right? It's not like fresh flowers where, like, you're stuck buying those every week. So how do you convince people that like one rose isn't enough? You need a bouquet, you know, add to the bouquet, all that sort of stuff. So it's really fun to sort of help brainstorm with brands to try to think, you know, and some of the ideas were silly, right? I mean, Leong, our good friend Leong, if you guys are on Friday check-in, you know Leong, his idea, which I love that he prefaced this idea with, this might be going too far. And as soon as he said that, I was like, I already know it's too far, but let's hear the idea. And his idea was, you take a little microscopic camera and hide it in the rose so that you're like spying on the people, right? And I was like, too far. You can't mail a hidden camera with your product. So no one try that, please. But it was nice because we had really great ideas and kind of, that wasn't an outrageous one, that was a silly one, but like some ideas that were a little more outrageous, but when you started talking about them and the whole group is like interacting, some of the outrageous ideas got molded into really quality ideas.
I mean, here's my idea. Since we're talking about Noah, every year in an anniversary, there's a material associated with it.
Yes.
Right. So you could do gold, you could do a fabric rose, mm-hmm. you could do, and then people would collect these, I think. You could have different jewels. But I like the idea in terms of content. I would just hire people and script the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that would attract me as a guy. Or I would just follow the Dr. Squatch formula. Like you give this rose to your woman, and then all of a sudden she's like all over you.
Yes.
Right? Works every time.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what they decided to go with because I don't want to give away all their secrets, but they did actually implement the ideas that we kind of landed on.
Nice.
Which is really exciting.
Cool. So it seems like in that group, video was pretty predominant. Was anyone kind of squeamish about getting started with video?
So it's interesting. So Mike Petter, I don't know if you met him at Seller Summit. He sells like outdoor backpacking type supplies. And he's from Canada. And he's like this, he's very rugged looking. Like he's got a beard and he's like kind of like fit. And, you know, he sells this outdoor gear and he's talking. And as he's talking, I'm like, dude, make videos. Like, you look like if I saw you with that backpack on, I'd be like, I can look like him if I wear the backpack. I'm in, right? Like, I'm buying this backpack. So as soon as he started talking, I'm like, video, 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 right? So, you know, he kind of shares what he was working on. And I said, Mike, you've got to do video. And he said something really interesting. And I'm going to mess up. I'm not going to quote him perfectly, but it was like, you can't just say make video. It's not that easy. And when he said that, it really resonated with me because I feel like we give this advice a lot. Just make video, right? And for most people, just making videos is not as simple as just making videos, right? They don't understand the lighting. They don't know what kind of camera to use. They don't know what to say. They feel like they don't like their voice. They don't like how they look. They're too fat. They're too skinny. They're whatever it is, right? Like there's all sorts of problems with just make a video. And when he said that, it really triggered, like, in my mind, most people feel this way when we say this, or when anyone says it, not just us, we just say it a lot. Is it like, it's not that simple. You can't just make a video.
I'm trying to think. so the reason why I didn't tell you what the topic of today's office hours was.
No, I don't
know. But it's basically my just do video.
Oh, great.
Like, I'm not saying just do video, but it's literally my process now on how I script the video and do everything. And I use AI a lot now, actually, to do this. So that's today's office hours. So how did you respond to that? I'm just curious.
Well, after I felt like garbage for like 5 seconds, we talked about basically creating processes to make video creation easier and how everybody has a hang up in the video making video process, whether it's the setup, whether it's not having the right equipment. It varies from person to person, right? There's not like a single answer. But, you know, step one was create a place where you can make video, whether it's the corner of your office or, you know, you have stuff set up behind your computer. Mike decided that he could set up a studio in his basement. With lights. And because I think that's hurdle number one, right? It's like, oh, I want to make a video, but I have to spend 45 minutes finding my tripod, getting the lights, setting up the camera. Where's the microphone? It's not charged, blah, blah, blah. And that's a huge hurdle because if you're already squeamish about making video, it's like when you don't want to do something and then like, it's like when you don't want to ride a ride at an amusement park and you get up there and you're like, oh yeah, I can't do that seatbelt. That kind of seatbelt is like, you look for any excuse not to like ride it. It's the same thing with video. It's like, oh, well, I don't know where the lights are. The camera's not charged. So basically having that setup where you just have to step into it and you can start filming. So step number one, for sure. Are you talking about that today?
No.
Okay.
To me, the biggest hurdle is the scripting, actually.
So that was the next thing we talked about.
What's funny is, you know this, I've been complaining like this week. Right now, we have just begun filming on my daughter's course,
mm-hmm.
which is how to sell crafts.
Going well, isn't it?
Well, what I didn't realize is like we've been doing this every single day practically for a long time now. And even when you have like a script or an outline on the teleprompter, if you use one, it's still hard for someone who doesn't do this regularly to even like read.
Yes.
On the teleprompter, because once the camera turns on,
mm-hmm.
something happens
to
most people where all of a sudden they freeze up. So the first video that I filmed with my daughter, it literally, so the battery almost died on the phone. it was like we filmed for like 25 minutes to produce a 2-minute video.
Yeah.
And so I feel the pain, but I really don't know how to mitigate it. It was to the point like where we just literally scripted it out word for word on the teleprompter, and we still had issues. So
here's what we talked through as a group. Yeah. So it was interesting because I do think for every person it's different. And that's what I learned. And we had a meeting again last night with the mastermind. And, you know, now that a lot of people that said they wanted to do video have started to do video, they have more insight, right? Because before it was kind of just spitballing because they weren't making video. But some of the suggestions were get a teleprompter, right? So it's okay to use a teleprompter. You can buy them on Amazon. They set up with an iPad. They're pretty inexpensive, especially if it's going to take you 20 hours to make one video. Like, buying a teleprompter, well worth the investment. A lot of people wanted a full script. They wanted everything word for word written out. Some people felt like the full script was really hard to follow, so they wanted bullet points. And it's like, if I just know what I'm talking about, I can look at point one and talk for 20, 30 seconds on the bullet points. Andrea, who's just started to make video, took a mini YouTube course, and she was like, the course wasn't that great. She's like, I got one takeaway, which was worth the $37 or something the course was that this person suggested having your script like off to the side and basically looking at it in like verbatim, right? Looking at the next line, and say the next line is, make sure you buy a Rode Podcaster mic on Amazon. Like, that's line number two. So you say, hey, this is Andrea Deckard. Today I'm going to talk to you about how to record. And then she pauses. She looks at the screen, memorizes sentence number two. The first thing you want to do is buy the Rode Podcaster mic on Amazon. It's inexpensive. You can get one for under $200. Sentence two. Then you look away and you're going to cut it, right? Like, you're going to fix it in editing. But basically, it's this whole like line for line, because a lot of videos have all those chops now, like the quick cuts. And so it's not a weird thing. To me, that sounds like an absolute nightmare. But for her, it's allowed her, the first video she tried to make took her like 2 days. The second video that she made using that method, which worked for her, took her like 15 minutes. So
why not just get the teleprompter then?
Because she struggled with reading as she like talking, like it didn't feel natural. It felt more natural to like memorize the one line as opposed to memorizing, because she was trying to memorize this whole script. And it's like, we're not actors. We can't memorize a script, you know? And a couple of people in the group were like, oh, I could, that sounds like something that would totally work for me. Leong, who started making video, he's using a teleprompter. So he's basically using the teleprompter to, you know, get his content out there. Mike is, I think he was a bullet point guy. Like, he just wanted the bullet points. He's also demonstrating products on video. So it's a little bit different. It's not like you and I were just standing here staring at the camera talking. So I think, but that was definitely step two, was get some sort of mechanism for remembering what you're talking about, whether it's teleprompter, writing your lines down, having a piece of paper off to the side. I think it just depends on your personality. As you know, I don't really like anything, which is good and bad. Sometimes I forget to say the things I want to say, but, you know, I've used the teleprompter. I think it's a great tool. I talk faster than I can make the teleprompter go, unfortunately. I should slow down.
So this is what I told my daughter. I was like, hey, you're not going to get this right the first time and it's going to be slow, but when, by the end of the summer, when we're going to be doing this every other day, you're going to be really good at this. And then I had to use examples of, hey, remember when I used to play volleyball with you and you were horrible?
Yeah.
Like, horrible. Remember when I used to make you cry every day when we were doing these math classes?
Let me remind you of all the things you used to suck at so that you...
But that's what I did, basically.
Well, and that's what we did talk about at the end, is like, you have to remember that all these things are hard in the beginning, right? Like, nobody just is born knowing how to make video. No one's born knowing how to play volleyball. Like, obviously some people have a better skill than others, but like, there's always things you can do to be better. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get.
Yeah. And then people always get hung up on gear. I can't tell you. You know what? I am going to start my Amazon influencer page just on gear, because I get so many questions about, my videos aren't even that good. Like, you know, production wise, they're not good at all. I don't know why people ask me for like what I'm using.
Because people get hung up on it all the time.
But you would think that they would ask someone who's actually has really awesome video production quality, right?
Maybe they're like, this is the best that I'm going to be able to do too. So I'm going to ask Steve.
I'm a low energy guy. You know me, I'm a priority guy, right? Yeah. The priority is audio.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's really what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So I just watched this video recently. Well, I was just curious. This YouTube person has over 1 million subscribers, and he described his exact process for putting out a video. Gear, everything. I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
First of all, his gear is probably like, just the lights alone are like $6,000.
Yeah.
And he always takes multiple angles and he moves the lights. Like he doesn't have separate setups. And then just his editing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like you put out a video like that on YouTube showing people what your setup is, no one's going to start.
No one can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it even matters. I bet if he stopped doing that, his channel would still be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the message that we tried to hammer home with people is just any video is better than no video. And your first video is always going to be your worst. So get the first one out of the way, get the second one out of the way. By the time you're on video 10, it's going to be significantly better than video one, but you never get to video 10 if you don't do video one first. So.
Anyone interested? So people are interested in SEO also and blogging.
Yeah. So our friend Kristen.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I think this is what the true benefit of the mastermind is, like what happened with Kristen. She sells pet products. She has a pet blog. She got hit with a Google algorithm update a couple months ago, as you know. Been, you know, struggling to get it back. And she's been on the fence about hiring an SEO agency. And I will say it's not for everybody to hire an agency. They're expensive. You know, you have to have the money to do it. But she's been really wavering back and forth. And after like everyone talking to her during the mastermind and sort of listening to like the problems she's having, it was kind of like, hey, if you can afford this, it might be a good investment because you've tried all the things that you know how to do and they haven't helped. So maybe the next step is, you know, bringing in the professional. So
you know what we should do?
Huh?
I'm just thinking out loud right here.
Yeah.
We should have her come on office hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just ask her, hey, what's the post that lost the most amount of traffic?
Mm-hmm.
And we would just do like a live rewrite.
Yeah.
Of that post. Chances are something happened, like new competition popped up or something. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. So anyway, so she, so that was sort of the, she had some other stuff, but that was, you know, the main thing that she was struggling with. And basically she left Seller Summit feeling like, you know what, I'm ready to hire an agency. And so she hired Jeff from 180.
Oh, she did hire.
Yes,
okay. Never mind.
Did.
We don't need to do this exercise at all. Then.
I was like, no, it'd be fun. We'll see who's better, us or Jeff. just kidding, Jeff. But anyway, it's funny because she said it. So we met last night and she said, you know, I hired them. She had seen Jeff speak at Seller Summit 2022. And she had also done the mastermind in 2022 with us, the content mastermind. And she said, you know, I felt really comfortable hiring them, what they're going to do for my site, the things that they provide. And she said, now I'm mad at myself that I waited so long.
Nice.
And she's like, and of course, now I want immediate results, right? She knows SEO doesn't work that way, right? But it's kind of like, it's like typical human nature, right? Procrastinate, 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 make a decision. Now it all needs to be done immediately, right? Like we have no ability to then like wait on the other side. So she did hire them and she's very happy so far and set a couple meetings and moving forward.
Nice. Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was, cause she emailed me.
Yes. Yeah. She's emailed and, a couple times about stuff.
About that. And cause it is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
And, I think I gave a wishy-washy answer actually, but I did say something like, hey, you know, if you can afford it and you think like this is something you can't tackle, you should do it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're tied to it forever.
Yeah.
You can just learn, get all the basics.
Yeah.
And once you know what you're doing, then just run with it.
Well, the funny part too was that, so one of the things that we had talked to her about was an idea that she presented to Jeff. And they basically said, I probably wouldn't do that because you're going to cannibalize some stuff. So then she came to the group last night and she's like, well, they kind of poo-pooed this idea because it cannibalizes. She's like, what do you guys think? And I'm like, if that's what they think, they've done a massive in-depth audit of your site. I will not go again. Like, I said, I think there's opportunity to niche down maybe on social and things like that. But like, if they're telling you that's going to cannibalize stuff, let's just go with them. I haven't done I've seen Jeff's reports. Like, I'm definitely not going to go against that, especially like first shot at it. So,
you know, this is something that I just kind of learned from Spencer Haas at Seller Summit, because he did this 1,000 blog post experiment. It was 1,000 blog posts in a year.
Yeah, and he ended up getting to like 980 or something. He did almost 1,000.
He did, but he like 5X'd his traffic.
Yep.
So oftentimes it's really just a volume game.
Yep.
More posts you put out, the more keywords you're going to rank for. So, I mean, his posts are always all pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them I can tell, like, he doesn't write his own stuff anymore. I can tell from some of his writers that it's not the best writing for some of the posts, but it ranks. It answers the question.
Yeah.
It does what it's supposed to.
Yeah. So I think we probably have time for one more.
Sure.
So our friends John and Sharon, you know, Trending Stocks. It was really cool. So, you know, I don't know if you know their story of basically why they started Trending Stocks, but they basically lost a lot in the stock market because of how they were doing things and, you know, made changes. And so they have this very cool, like, family story that comes behind the why of their business. And we're sitting there at the mastermind, and John, who is, I don't know how old they are, they're, you know, older than us. And John just, first of all, he's brilliant. I think is he an engineer or computer engineer or something?
It seems like he is,
actually. He's got some sort of like, he's very, very academic smart. And he starts talking about the stock market and what they did and how people, like, how there's people out there that, like, not mislead you, but like he's telling his story in a way, and everybody in the room is just like zoomed in on him. Like, he's so captivating and so believable. And I ended up stopping him. And then I was like, stop right there. Like, every single person in this room is like completely captivated by you. You're so believable. You're so trustworthy. Like, please, please, please make videos. Please, please, please tell your story. Tell this story on TikTok, on Reels, on YouTube. Like, cut it up into shorts. Like, do all these things, because it's like, I would listen to you. Like, everyone in the room was like, I would do whatever you said, John. I mean, they were all like 100% in of whatever he was selling, because his persona is so genuine. And it is, he's a very genuine person. So in the other part of that was like, they needed to do a better job of sort of outlining, because a lot of people were confused about what they did and kind of like what the process was. And so everyone's agreed that, like, hey, you need sort of an outline of what you do, why you do it, what the process is, what is even Trending Stocks? Like, what does that mean? Because most people didn't even understand the meaning of that. And so, you know, Sharon came to the meeting last night with this typed up, it was so cute. I felt like a teacher. I was like, let me get my red pen. Typed up outline of like all the different, like basically chapter outlines, right? Which we then decided should probably be made into like short videos. And then John has started on TikTok, although apparently TikTok just updated the interface and he's not real thrilled about that. I'm like, none of us are thrilled when anything updates. Like, we all are.
Did the interface change?
From before Seller Summit, like before he had been on it.
Okay.
You know, so he had sort of learned it earlier. And then when he went to get back on it, it was a little bit different. So it's a little bit of a learning curve, but he started to make videos for like short form. So that was really exciting to see, you know, all the progress. And the one thing that we did in the mastermind, which I don't think the e-commerce folks do this, but before we left the room, we had everybody go in the room, around the room, and give us one goal, because we told them we were going to meet in 30 days. Like, in 30 days, we're going to meet back up, and optionally, obviously, via Zoom. And, you know, I want you to say one goal that you have. And of course, it's funny, because when you ask people to give you one goal, they give you five. And you're like, no, one goal, not five, one. And we're going to hold you accountable to that in 30 days. And every single person that came on the Zoom, we didn't have full attendance, which is fine. You know, not everybody can make the times and stuff like that. Every single person met their goal. Every one of them.
Nice.
So it was pretty awesome. Like, one of the guys, Jesse, his goal was to hire a writer for the website and something else. He had done that with some obstacles too that had happened. He actually hired a writer who was then sub-hiring out to somebody else.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah,
yes.
And he was mad. And I was like, I'd be mad too, because the guy wasn't honest about it. He didn't come clean until later. And Jesse's like, I didn't hire you to hire somebody else. Like, you know, but...
That happened to me, actually.
Oh, did it?
This woman had incredible credentials. Like, she'd written for papers, some really big publications, yeah. And she was charging a high ticket amount. And so I paid for an article, and then it came back. It was clear that someone from, like, somewhere else wrote it, India or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyone who uses the word keen.
Yeah.
You know.
He was actually happy with the quality.
Oh.
He just was like, you can't, like, it just felt like an ethical thing that the guy wasn't upfront with him about it.
I see.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would get as mad at that.
He wasn't angry.
But this article is crap.
Yeah, he just felt like he said there were a few things in the article that is what led him to sort of investigate the writing. But so everybody that came on last night to Zoom met their goal, and they all said that knowing they had to get on this call was sort of the motivator they had to make sure they did it, which I think is so true. It's kind of like that year that I stood up and was like, I'm going to do $100,000
a
month.
I remember.
And then I was like, crap, I got to do $100,000 in a month. But I think it is really motivating for people when they know that not only are we going to like hold them accountable, but like we're their biggest cheerleaders, right? Like everybody on the call was like, when the person would like, you know, Mike started making videos in his basement and everyone's like, you know, yes. And like, it's just that constant like positive reinforcement of like, you're doing something. Not only is it going to help your business, but like, we're all proud of you for, you know, taking that next step. And video is hard and you did it. And Leong like showed everybody his, you know, he's been working on a workflow for his videos, right? So he showed everybody his office and how he set everything up and these little 3D houses that he's printing that are super cute. And his whole workflow for all the things. And everyone's excited because it's like, you did the next thing. You said you wanted to do this. Now you're doing it. Kristen hired Jeff. Like all these different, you know, and everyone had a different, you know, goal when we left Seller Summit. But the fact that they all came through and made it happen was really, really exciting. And they're already seeing the benefits of it in their business, right? So it's not just to say that you did it. It's that it's going to positively impact their business as well.
I love it. Yes, accountability is very important.
Yes.
You know what? I'll be straight up with you. Like, I'm always afraid to make such bold statements. Like, I would never make a statement like, okay, I'm doing 100K this month.
Yeah, that was a
or whatever it was
weakness,
you said.
Whatever I did.
So I've adopted, like, I just not the type of person to do that. Although I guess for a little goal like that, I would do that. But I would never see something as grand as what you did.
I always have to be extra. But I think even though, you know, like, I don't think making videos is a little goal for someone who's not making videos. That's a huge goal, right?
Correct.
And I don't think making a big hire, like hiring a SEO agency, like they're little in that they're not like crazy, like monetary. Like, I don't think I would ever make a goal like that again, out loud at least. But I think
it worked.
It did work. It did. I'm definitely competitive. But I think that, you know, it was exciting to see people, like the goals that they set for themselves were difficult for them. And so the fact that they were all able to come through and make them happen was really exciting. And of course, they all agreed they were going to meet again because it worked so well. So
nice. I like that idea. Maybe we should try to incorporate that into a future Seller Summit. But the problem is, it wouldn't be fair to some of the mastermind leaders. But maybe we could do something.
Obviously, I lead this mastermind, so I can do whatever I want to do with that. I would not necessarily feel comfortable asking every mastermind leader to do that, but... So we agreed to 3 months. So 3 months, meet again and update, which I think is a good amount of time, right? Because like, it's only been a month since Seller Summit ended. So for some of these people, like Forever Rose, right? Like they were going to use a platform to hire some people and do some stuff, right? So that takes time. So they have just started they have content now, but like it's very new. So they haven't been able to see any results. With Mike, like he's made a couple videos, but they're not up yet, right? So it's like they've taken those steps. Same with John and Sharon. So it'll be cool. In 3 months, there'll have been enough time passed to where some of the actions, Jesse with the writer, right? Like the actions have now had time to sort of work on the site and make a difference in their businesses.
You know what I just realized? I think I did do that. I told everyone that I was going to hit the bestseller list. I just realized that now.
You told me. Well, you said you wanted to. I don't know if you ever
But then like everyone at Seller Summit was like, hey, you're going to find... I was like, oh, no. I don't know. If I wasn't 100% sure. So I guess it does work. It does work, I guess.
Yeah, because you worked pretty hard for that.
But I had a plan though.
Yeah.
Way before I said that. Like I was like 85% confident that I was going to do it. But that's awesome. I like that idea. I'm always trying to think of how we can improve it year to year. This might be too big of an ask for most leaders, but I like it a lot.
It's a tough one because we have guest leaders, right? So it's hard to ask people like, oh, can you lead a mastermind and meet up with these people every 3 months for the rest of your life? No.
But maybe in the course, we should force people to just give some sort of goal. Yeah. And then we'll just do roll call at the live office hour. We'll just go down the list saying, hey, did you do this?
I like that idea.
Something like that. Yeah, for the size of the class right now, we could do that. I don't know if I could do that in my other class, but
not everybody comes to office hours, so you probably, you know, the high performers, you know. You're already stacking the deck because the people that show up at office hours tend to be. That's true. But hey, it's a benefit of showing up, right? Like it's a benefit of coming to office hours and learning and some accountability. I think it works. I think it's exciting and I'm excited to come back next year for Seller Summit and see where these folks are in a year, right? Like a year of consistently making that progress on their goals.
By the way, I forgot to announce the recordings for the Seller Summit 2023 are available over at sellersummit.com. Yep. So if you want to see all the amazing sessions, we actually had 21 sessions this year, which was the most. And I thought every single one was good.
Yep.
And I wouldn't lie to you guys. Like if I didn't think so, I probably just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
But if you want to catch those lessons, go over to sellersummit.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.